Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. You know, just a question. What's the opposite of pro? What's the opposite of pro? Con. What's the opposite of progress? Okay. That was free. Okay, if you're able, let's stand as we read from God's Word tonight. Some of you will figure that out later tonight. I don't know. Okay, we'll start with verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen and with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Help us as we work through this passage tonight. Lord, help us to have our hearts tender. Lord, not only to be instructed, but Lord, to be challenged in our lives spiritually, so we can grow. Lord, thank you for this church. I just pray, God, that you give me that unction from the Holy Spirit. How I need you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's many temptations and many things drawing us in this present society like never before. So the question is, how do you endure through these trying times we live in? When I was in high school, I used to run, back then it was called cross country, I guess they're marathons now, but I was never a sprinter. If I tried to get out and sprint, everybody would beat me, but endurance, that was the thing. I was pretty good at endurance. In fact, when we practiced, we'd run the section twice a day. You know, that was back in Kansas, everything is sectioned off mile squares, okay? So we'd run 8 miles each day and get prepared for the endurance of the race. And you know, you need to build your oxygen level and your endurance, but no matter how much you work it, when it comes time for the race, it's a little different. You'd get in the race and you'd see some that would start out big and jump way ahead. And as you were going down a few miles later, you'd see them falling behind because they used all their energy too early. And invariably, there'd be some that wouldn't finish the race. But, you know, I was always determined. I never came in high in the race. I think the best I placed was maybe, I don't know, 25th or something, which wasn't too bad with 300 racers, but most of the time I was in the 60s or 70th place, you know. But I was determined to do my best and endure through the trials. And how many have run in long races? A few of you. You know what it's like then. It begins to be mind over matter. Because when you get down to the last maybe half mile, quarter mile, you've got to kick into a second level. And by then, your body is saying, no, 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 stop this. You're killing me. You're killing me. But you want to do the best. And so you kick into another gear, and you're painting all over. You're out of energy. You're out of oxygen. But you're just pushing yourself to finish the race and do the very best you can. The Bible describes the Christian life as an endurance race. And there's things that come up. And as we get closer to the end, I'm sad to say, a lot of times I see guys that people do well in the Christian race and then blow it toward the end. I don't understand that. I don't, about you, I don't want to blow it at the end. But how do you endure it as we're getting closer, I think, to the end of the race period, as I think the Lord's coming back? How do you endure as it gets so wacko out there? There's sometimes it's just, I don't even want to listen to the news. Anybody like that? God told us in Hebrews 12, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And we can earnestly say these are trying times. I'm not here to depress people tonight. I'm just looking at some reality things. Just bear with me. But as the times get more trying, our test of endurance, I think, is challenged more than ever before. There's many threats. I mean, as Christians, we could go through some persecution, you know. My wife, she always says, Lord, come quickly. She says, I can do a lot of things, but I can't endure persecution, you know, or something like that. She's looking at me, that's how I said it. Well, okay. But there's a lot of threats, unpredictable things. There's fears, there's warnings. There's stuff that's some propaganda, and what's truth, we don't know a lot of times. But we simply have to trust the Lord to take care of us as he promised in his word he would. And regardless how crazy it may get out there, know that God is with us. Paul said in Philippians 4, now anybody understood trials, it was Paul. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. And in all things I am instructed, everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then we know the famous verse, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And maybe Paul understood this more than many of us today, but some of the greatest challenges we face in life are simply waiting on God to take care of the situation. Job had to wait. And Job's situation was tougher than ours because he didn't have the written word and he wasn't sure what was going on, you know. But he had to endure, I don't know how many years that went on. Elijah waited at the brook Cherith, you know. Someone was teaching that on Wednesday night. Joseph had to go through trying struggles as a slave and then as a prisoner and not figuring out what in the world's going on. I'm sure he had troubling times and questioning what's going on. David, he's anointed to be king as a teenager, and then for the next 12 to 15 years, he has to run from Saul, who's trying to kill him. And we know David got discouraged. There was times he said, told his men, just go away. I'm going to go hide somewhere. And, you know, all the attacks from King Saul, you know, he said, it looks like I'm going to die, you know. But you look at that, and God still took care of the situation. But how do those guys do it? Under extreme trials, far greater than we're experiencing today, how could they keep their eyes on the Lord when the times were sometimes treacherous, fearful, and unpredictable? What was their key? What's the key ingredient to enduring through temptation? I don't think this will be a long message, but every preacher says that. But there's three words I want to notice tonight. I think you can remember these three words. I think it'll maybe help you in these situations that we're facing in this world. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Well, get my mouth straight. Special blessings come to those who can endure through the trying times in these three ways. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich and that he is made low. First simple word, this may sound strange, but just bear with me. What do you do in those situations? Rejoice. That's it. Rejoice. There's two contrasting situations described in this text. The poor and needy who are exalted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the rich who have suffered economic disaster, suddenly find themselves plummeting down to the poor and needy. So suddenly things are coming down to where the poor and needy are, who have been blessed of God and still serving the Lord and being faithful. But both of these, the one that's been living poor all his life, and the one that maybe had all the everything he wanted and then lost it all, can rejoice. Now, some of us are thinking that I'd rather be the guy that was poor all the time and not have to worry about it than the rich guy that lost it all. I mean, that comes to mind. But what they can rejoice is this. They have Jesus Christ. Notice he says the brother of low degree. He's talking about brother in here. We're talking about people that know the Lord. Both of them can rejoice whatever the situation is. Americans, as Christians, we lived, I've been, my whole life I've lived in plenty. I can't remember who we were talking with. Somebody, I've always had food. It must have been last night on the trip, I think it was one. I've always been blessed with, I've always had food to eat. I've never had to worry about, boy, what are we going to eat for the next meal? I may not have liked what we're going to have for the next meal. I remember when we were starting the church in Longview, we're poor as poor could be. Back then, there wasn't much support for church planting. We had $200 a month support. That basically paid our rental on the VFW Hall building while we were, everything else, I was working full time. And anyway, and I remember down there in Calhoun County, you can go smelt dipping. Anybody done smelt dipping before? You get a net about on about, it was a 15, 20 foot pole, and you, and in the Calhoun River, they'd go through there and you'd dip smelt. It was, you could free, you could get a 5 gallon bucket a day. And how many have had smelt? It's good if you don't have to live on it. We were eating smelt, and it got where we smelt, you know. I mean, just smelt. To this day, I like smelt for bait, okay. But, you know, but we can still rejoice that God was providing. And so me and America, we're, you know, what if we lost everything? It could happen. The way they're heading, they're just, looks like they're desiring economic disaster. People out of jobs, you know, and I remember the days of Jimmy Carter, that was going on, you know, and you say, man, you're an old man. Yes, I'm an old man. That's why I'm here, okay? You couldn't get anybody else. Had to get an old man. But, you know, people were losing things they had. And what if you lost everything you had, you know? Can you rejoice? You have Jesus. Like they sang tonight, always going to have him. I've seen believers in Mexico, didn't have hardly anything. Fiji, Jamaica, I remember working in Trenchtown there. Those people had nothing. That was the slums of Kingston, Jamaica, which made the slums in New York look like Beverly Hills. I mean, it was really people living in, they had little lean-to pieces of board. They'd live under that. And very poor, but the people in the church there that we were having a revival with, they were happy as could be. Poor as sin, but happy in the Lord because they did have Jesus. I say it again and again, but it's not things that make you happy. It's the assurance that no matter what happens, I have the Lord and I'll be with him. See, we need to rejoice in the blessings of God, and that doesn't require physical things. Yes, material loss may create hardships, But we will find victories in seeing that provision of God more vividly. The promise, Philippians 4:19, which says what? But my God shall supply some of your need. All of your need. That's right. In glory, by Christ Jesus. Because of the Lord, he will take care of us. Anytime I come to some stop sign, some guy's holding up a sign, we're Christian, God bless you, could you help, need food. Right away I say, what does the Bible say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So they're not Christian, they just use the sign to get attention. You know. But God always takes care of his people, he will. See, two can rejoice, both these various situations, because we're in the family of God. My dad, I had Christian parents. I've been blessed my whole life. And my dad, he taught me how to appreciate the things that we were blessed with. And I'd have other friends in school, their parents would buy him a brand new car. And they'd tear it up the first year, usually. Dad wouldn't buy me a car, even a junker. He said, Danny, he says, work hard this summer and I'll help you. You save your money and I'll help you find a good car. Okay, and so he taught me how to change oil and to fix things, but I had to spend the money and I learned to appreciate my car. I mean, I had to put the gas in. He didn't put the gas in. And it's good, you know. That's how a parent should raise their children. You know, they don't need to hand everything. They need to train on how to handle what they are given and what God has provided. I thought, you know, sometimes as a teenager, I thought he was mistreating me. Until I saw how, through those tests, I grew in the Lord and grew in my understanding. And I appreciated my dad more than ever before. The disciplines and testings of my parents often gave me the area that would help strengthen my life later. And so I wouldn't be as frustrated. I learned to depend on God and know that God would take care of me. And God would guide me in the lean times as well as the times of plenty, you know. And so I say, I'm thankful God give me good parents, love the Lord. That was what they Josh said, they built into my brother and I's life. And I'm thankful for that. And it was a joy to preach my dad's funeral, you know. And he was kind of like, well, I said like the sons of Zebedee. I preached that message of, you know, because dad worked for Trans World Airlines all his life. And both his sons get called in the ministry. And he didn't complain about us not following his footsteps. He was excited we were doing what God wanted. And that was free. But if we're trusting our Heavenly Father's love and care, we know that he'll provide and care for us regardless of the situation that we may be facing at this moment or in the coming moments. If you look at today's situation in this world, I'll tell you, more than ever, you can rejoice that you're in the family of God. As it gets worse, I'm saying, praise God I got saved. I'm not part of this world. David, inspired by God to write this in Psalm 37, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What a great promise. So rejoice. You go home tonight, no matter what the situation, no matter what you may be facing this week, rejoice. Amen? So the first word is what? Come on, say it again. I want to share with me. The first word is what?
Rejoice.
Okay, let's look at the second word. Verse 10 again. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass of the fashion of it perisheth, so shall also the rich man fade away in his ways. Second word, the first one is what? Rejoice. The second one is redirect. See, what do you mean, redirect? Remind yourself that all the blessings come from the Lord. There's no vegetation more affected by the weather than grass. What is the blessing you have in Western Washington is it's always green. However, what causes that? Rain, 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 rain. Okay? And it's not so cold. In Montana, where I came from, it's beautiful when it's in the summer, in the spring, when it comes out. But this time of year, it is brown and ugly. And then some places in the summertime, Kalispell is not bad. It gets a lot of moisture there. But a lot of places, especially on the other side of the Rockies, the grass turns brown in the summer. Because guess what? It has no water, no moisture. It's so affected by the heat and the sun and the moisture that climate, seasons, poisons, weeds in the grass, everything is so much affected. Grass is so affected by those things. Let me say, this country has forgotten who blessed this land. Throughout the Revolution, expansion, the Civil War, the World Wars, through the Great Depression, the nation would often turn back to God. But today it seems to be the past. Psalm 9 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." So that don't give very much prospect for the future of this country. No, it doesn't. But let's go back to the first term is what? Rejoice. You're saved. You got a lot to rejoice about. So what is this redirect? Let me say this. It wasn't your great prowess, your hard work, your incredible intelligence which advanced your life. Say, preacher, you're not speaking too well of me. Well, I just want to bring you to reality. It's the Lord that advanced your life. It's the Lord that advanced this country. It is. Now, I'm not denying that you don't work hard. It's good. I'm not denying hard work is not good. It is good. Not saying that you don't have any wisdom. But remember who provided those abilities. Never forget that. Redirect. You know, don't let pride set in, or that's destructive. You know, God's going to bring down the pride, but he'll lift up the humble. And it's always redirect. Man, whenever, I always told our people, someone says, man, appreciate that, or thank you for that, always say, thank the Lord. Always redirect it. Anything, never take any praise. I'm not saying, oh, don't say that. No. Always redirect it. Say, thank God. Man, I appreciate that sacrifice you made to help me out. Say, praise the Lord. Understand what I'm saying? Always redirect those blessings. Every success will find places where God intervened to advance those efforts. I think of the people that fought for our freedom. And God stepped in to make their sacrifice so effective. I remember years ago went to Boston and went to Bunker Hill. It's pretty moving to see. I mean, they were 12. I mean, it was just a few men taking on all these troops of the British. And then the British had their ships out there shooting at them. And these guys stood their ground, you know. Incredible efforts. World War II. Think about this. We would have lost World War II if God wouldn't have stepped in. D-Day alone was the intervention of God. You say, what do you mean? I mean, they're making plans to go and attack the mainland out of Great Britain. And the British are just waiting for them. Lined up on the hillside. You're below them. So you're in bad situation. Well, what happened that day is there was a big storm that came in. And you know what side it cleared from first? Great Britain. The troops came in and the British couldn't see them because the storm was all down low and they couldn't see a thing until they landed. It would have never happened. And that's not an accident. So what he's trying to say, God's involved in everything in this world. And I think he still had a plan for America, and he's used us in a great missions endeavor since that time. Listen to me, compared to God, all your great talents and abilities you're not going to like this. Okay. What's he saying here in the scripture? Compared to God, all your great talents and abilities are no better than grass. I'm depressed now, preacher. No, I'm not saying it's bad. You're just dependent upon the Lord as the grass is. Your ways, as he says in verse 11, they can fade away. You can lose all your abilities. They can happen quickly. God sends stormy weather, a drought upon all your efforts, or maybe some accident. I mean, things can change quickly. So never forget, the blessings have come from God. We always have to redirect our blessings to God alone. As the old hymn says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. One of my professors, Homer Kent, said this, when the heat of trials removes his flowering wealth or threatens to do so, the Christian knows he has really lost nothing if Christ is everything to him. Yeah. I've lost nothing when Jesus is everything to me. See, the most valuable part of life, as I said this morning, is whether I have Christ or don't have Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son hath not life. 1 John 5. You know, I'm not saying I'm a pessimist, but what if this country fails to survive? What will you have? What will remain? If you have Christ, he'll still provide for you. He'll take care of your needs. He'll carry you through. He'll take care of your family. He's promised that. You say, well, I've never seen our country face these. No, we haven't. But the same God that provided for Elijah on the brook Cherith is the same God today that can take care of us. Yeah. So we do what? Rejoice. The second thing we do is redirect. The third thing, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The third word may seem strange, but you'll get it in just a minute. We have rejoice, redirect, and the third word is resign. You're all looking at me funny. You know what the word resign really means? We have a misconstrued idea about it. It really means to be content. Or to endure and to reflect it and consider it's worth it in the long run. Some people believe that resign means to give up. That's really not the definition of it, okay? You know, endurance takes place when we give up our fleshly groaning and whining about how hard things are. Remember, I talked about running in cross country. At the beginning, you're pumped up, you take off the weights you've been wearing. Man, you're in the fit of health and you're so cool. And everybody's stretching and getting ready to start in the race. And everybody, when they start, everybody feels like, I'm going to win this thing. But you catch them in the last fourth of the race, and it's a different group. In pain, gasping for breath, wanting to quit, and that is all the flesh. The flesh is wanting to quit. The flesh is out of breath. It's all a fleshly thing. That's where I say mind over matter. Then the mind has to take over and say, well, I don't care what my flesh says. I'm going to do this. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Listen to me. These things we face these days are a test to our spiritual strength. Our determination. The race is a little tougher now. Remember this. Victory comes at the finish. How are you going to finish? The body may groan in pain. But how are you going to finish? The family may be struggling. The kids may say, we don't have what we... They may be whining about stuff. How are you going to stand in those situations? My life is living for eternity with Christ. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the end. This is the time of trial and work. I've always looked at it this way. I had a preacher friend years ago. He always said this. He says, you know, if a person doesn't know the Lord, this is the only heaven they ever have. It's a pretty rough one. But if you know the Lord, this is the only hell you ever have. This is as bad as ever going to get. After that, it's just rejoicing for eternity. Oh, sing that song, amazing. We've been there 10,000 years, been there 10 million years. You think these things here are going to matter? What's going to matter is that you were faithful. I mean that you resigned that my life's the Lord's. See, those who relinquish command into God's hands receive a great crown. He said, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Jesus asked Peter three times. Remember that story after the resurrection? He said, Peter, do you love me? He wanted to quit after his denial. He was embarrassed. His failure was more than he could take. But it was his flesh. And Jesus knew that Peter had to give up all his belief in his abilities. That's what that was about. Because remember, he said, I'll die first. I'm not going to deny you. And then he denied him. Yeah. Who was Peter depending on? Depending on Peter. Jesus said, hey, you know, you're not going to do it, Peter. He said, do you love me? Is that what matters to you? Loving Christ is verified by how much we resign in our life to him. And when you do, it brings peace in every situation. What are those little secret things you're holding on to that you won't let go of? What are those little closets you have? Or what are those, you talked about those compartments I mentioned last week. What are those things that you just haven't let go of? You're not going to have victory if you hold on to those. You got to resign it. Jesus said in John 15, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. 1 John 4:18 and 19, I love these verses. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You remember when the Missouri used to be down here in Bremerton? Anybody, how many visited the Missouri ones down there? Some of you. Some of you looking at me, what? Okay, how long has it been gone from here? I don't know. I think it's down in Houston or something. They moved it to Hawaii. That's what it was. But some of you don't know. Missouri was where the Japanese came to sign the surrender in World War II. And this, we haven't had this kind of war in a long time since then. But, you know, so you go on to Missouri, it's cool. They have pictures of MacArthur and all the generals and the Japanese and Hirohito and those guys there on the ship. And they signed, this is great. We haven't had that kind of war since then. They signed unconditional surrender. I mean, Vietnam was not unconditional surrender. The war in Iraq was not unconditional surrender. That's how you really end a war. Some of us Christians need to sign unconditional surrender to the Lord. we're trying to do the Vietnam thing. In our lives with the Lord. But you got to resign. Surrender yourself unconditionally. These trying times we're facing are going to get worse. And I'm not a pessimist. I said that. I'm a very optimistic guy. All the stuff we're facing, it's this world. It's a mess. It's the godlessness, really, what's going on. But God wasn't the originator of the problems that we face, but certainly the curse of these times we live in. You know, just look in Matthew 24, earthquakes in diverse places, pestilence, we've had that, it's going to come again, we're going to have more pestilence. It worked for them last time, they're going to do it again. There's going to be all kinds of weird stuff going on. But you say, well, you're not a pessimist. No, I rejoice. I think the Lord's getting us. Listen, Christians, a lot of Christians, and I was kind of part of that a little bit, that I was proud to be an American. I'm still proud to be American. But we put our hope in American politics. How's that working? So I think a lot of this, for the Christian's sake, God's saying, I'm going to let this stuff happen so the Christians will realize their hope is not in America. Not that I don't love the country, but my hope's not here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My hope is in the Lord. I can rejoice. I need to redirect my things. I need to resign some things. God is sovereign over all things, and certainly there's nothing beyond His control. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Amen, yeah. Job was under Satan's attack. I talked about that earlier, and he didn't know he was. His friends blamed him for some sin in his life that he knew he didn't commit anything, And God allowed Satan to do those things, didn't he? Satan's only, when it comes to God's people, remember this, Satan will only do the stuff that God allows him to do to you. But Job didn't have any scripture or anything to verify what was going on. We have the whole Bible. What, aren't we blessed? However, Job trusted God and said, hey, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I read that and tears come to my eyes. I think, man, can I have that kind of faith? But we have the scriptures and the warnings of God of what's to come. I mean, I think we can know that God will take care of us. Several years ago, my wife and I say it was a bad day. That was when we were in Longview pastoring, and we were getting ready for a ladies' mother-daughter banquet or something. We were working on, I was pulling some wire for electrical in the new auditorium. We had this house we converted, and it was outside the box was outside, so I'm up on this ladder, and there's a fence of the neighbors there, and I'm pulling on this wire with the wire puller. It's a steel thing that goes in on a spring. Anyway, so I'm pulling it in. I'm up there pulling all my mic because, man, it was a lot of wire. And the thing broke, and I fell off a ladder, landed on the fence, and it killed me. No. It wasn't a pleasant thing, and I was frustrated, and I had to go get another wire puller. Anyway, got that all fixed, and then we went in the church, and we were working on something, and one of the guys that turned the heater on accidentally on a break. Oh, that's what I was working on, that wire. He turned a breaker on and thought it was the wire I was working on, but it was the heater in the baptistry, and there was no heat. And it was this element went in there, and of course, fiberglass doesn't do well with fire. And suddenly the baptistry caught on fire. And I thought, oh, no. And so another guy in the church was there, and we didn't think about the fire extinguisher on the wall. You think water. So he ran into the bathroom, got a little styrofoam cup, filled it up. And this was a miracle. He goes, this flames are coming up to the ceiling. He throws that one little bit of cup of water in there and puts the thing out. To this day, I'm just amazed. And then we get a call, and Teresa's sister had died on a heart on the table with the doctors. They were trying to do a work on her heart. And boy, that was, what else can go wrong? Then we're getting ready for the ladies thing. We go into the fellowship hall, and out of the ceiling up there in the manhole, maggots start falling out of the ceiling. What in the world? Fall on the carpet, and get a ladder and open that thing up, and the smell comes out, and there's an old dead cat up there just full of maggots. And I thought, what? I know everybody's grossed out. So much for having supper now. And, it was just a weird day. We survived it. Had a good ladies' meeting. You have days like that. And sometimes the devil just kind of focuses on you, Does a bunch of stuff. But, God's still in charge. And you're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some times when temptation is there. The devil's trying to discourage you, trying to make you quit, trying to say it's not worth it. Or he's attacking you in some area, just like he did with Job. But you need to rejoice. You know the Lord. And he need to redirect the blessings that come, because they will come. And then resign everything to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.